Yes, yes, y'all. Welcome, everybody, in episode 150 of the Dumb Marks Podcast. It's your boys, your favorite Saturday brunch bunch, back at it again. Sorry for the delay. We're going on here, folks. Some stuff popped up. But, gentlemen, how we feeling? How we living?
Good.
Doing good.
Good, good, good. Heavy hearts across the wrestling world this week. As you know, we lost Terry Funk, obviously, and then the shocker, which kind of hit everybody unexpectedly, and just everything surrounding the loss and passing of Bray Wyatt with him being 36 years old. You know, that one was that unexpected right hook that you don't see that kind of puts you down. So with that being said, you know, rest in peace to both of those gentlemen. Both had impacts across the industry and touched so many people and lives outside of the squared circle, not just what they did on screen. But, you know, I wish as a wrestling community, the bickering, the back and forth that we do all the time, it's like no matter when, whenever a wrestler passes, everybody seems to come together, but it shouldn't be that we just come together whenever somebody passes. We can critique, we can talk, we can debate, but the flag bearing, waving, tribalism, so to speak, as they say on the internet, seems very trivial when situations like this pop up. So
absolutely,
heavy week there, but with, you know, as they say, with mourning death comes new life, and you know, I was late getting on this morning because my cousin gave birth to her first child this morning.
Congratulations.
I was on the phone with my uncle, who's a grandfather for the first time, congratulating him and talking to him. So mom's good. Baby's good. Everybody's healthy. So, you know, even like I said, in mourning death, we give meaning to new life. So bright spot in the week that was.
That's awesome.
And that side of things. So, yeah. So
it's always good to have some good news coming out of some darkness.
Right. So we're here all in, the biggest wrestling show in the world. We'll get into predictions, breakdowns, talk through the card, everything else. I know I didn't have time to hop on in the pre-production, but I kind of felt like given the week that was, Jabroni of the Week is kind of eh. Do we need to harp on anything that went wrong in wrestling this week? You know, if we want to talk about it, great, but I don't think it needs to be said. Kind of keep it upbeat and positive this week's show. But if you guys feel differently, if there's something you want to get off your chest as far as something that you absolutely didn't like this week and it ties in, by all means, throw it out there. But I kind of gave up on Jabroni of the Week after the news that came down. I was like, I'm not going to harp on any negative this week. So
I was kind of the same way until last night.
All right.
So. Well,
before we get into All In and AEW and all that, before we touch on any jabronis you guys may have, like I said, I'm leaving that off the map this week for me. Terry Funk, Bray Wyatt. Talk about him for a little bit here. Terry Funk was one of those individuals based on our age. I didn't get the full Terry Funk experience.
Yeah.
Yes.
I got the ECW and yes. later Funk. Mm-hmm. I got the Chainsaw Charlie Funk. I got, you know, Funk.
The 20 different retirement Funk.
yes. I got that Terry Funk. And that Terry Funk, I loved. That whole second, third, fourth, fifth, 27th part of his career, because of how many times he retired. I love Terry Funk. Like, and then you go back because you have the ability to go back and watch so much older stuff now between the network and, you know, YouTube and everything else. And you get to see what he did before that, when he was quote unquote in his prime. And you completely understand why when wrestlers speak, they put Terry Funk in the regard that they put Terry Funk in.
Yes.
And a lot of wrestlers, you know, the legends of legends that we consider in this business all say that, hey, Terry Funk's number one. He was the best to ever do it. I think we even heard that with Flair last night in the tribute package that they played when Cody Rhodes came out for the ring and talked about Terry Funk. What are some of your memories about Terry Funk? And then if nobody touches on it as far as like your memories and discussions, I do have a question that, you know, would tie into a game per se, but we'll do it because of we're celebrating the, you know, the life that was Terry Funk.
My first thing was ECW whenever he was telling the crowd to throw the chairs in. That's when I was new to ECW. And when I saw that, I was like, what is going on? I never experienced something like that before watching on TV with the crowd interaction. And he was the focus, was like, come on. I was like, what are you doing? The next thing you know, there's like 20 to 30, 50 chairs flying in the ring.
He gets out of the ring.
As you're watching it, he gets hit in the head and does the old Terry Funk flop and then rolls out the bottom of the ring. Like, I mean, that scene, that moment, like that arguably is on the Mount Rushmore of moments in pro wrestling.
Yes.
They played it every week on ECW.
Yes, they did.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like you have that moment from a positive side. I don't condone throwing chairs in the ring, but as far as like what the groundswell was in that moment and it being a positive thing, right? And then on the flip side of the coin, when Hogan turns and joins the NWO, you get the same crowd reaction, but it's for the hatred that
the exact opposite. NWO,
and there's bottles and garbage and everything else. Mm-hmm. Like, those two moments stand out to me as like fans from my era of watching wrestling, fans like fully buying in, believing everything is real that they're seeing, and showing happiness and displeasure at the same time. Yes. On two different moments. Like those two are moments that you could argue are on the moments of Mount Rushmore in pro wrestling.
I think the ECW fans then, they were just, even at that point, that was like what, like 95, 96?
Yeah.
They were so invested in the show. Like
95.
Yeah, they thought they were a part of the show just as much as the wrestlers were, you know?
And that's what made ECW. So for him and Foley to be out there and organically turn that into something that you never thought would have happened. And I've heard Mick talk about it a couple times. I don't think I've ever heard Terry talk about it. What like his thoughts were in that moment. If somebody knows of a interview clip or something out there where he's talking about that moment, feel free to hit us up in the chat or go hit us up on social media so I can go check it out, because I'd love to hear his thoughts about it. But man, that, like, I think you hit the nail on the head right there, Donald, for like my peak wrestling gears to see that. Mm-hmm. Like, okay, ECW, what is this? Like,
yes, what is this? Because there was nothing like it on TV at that time. Absolutely nothing like it.
No.
Well, since you brought that up as your first memory or thought, I'll ask the question, because this is what I was going to ask if nobody touched on it. If there's no Terry Funk, is there an ECW? Like, Funk to ECW was a la Jericho to AEW. For the startup, the initial rocket launch point. A lot of people point to that moment where the chairs go in the ring as like the official ECW's off. Mm-hmm. And from there, it just went bananas.
Same with him and Sabu in the barbed wire match. That put a lot of eyes on the ECW.
With him winning that title on their pay-per-view. The first pay-per-view, him winning the title and then getting cut because of time. Mm. Just him holding the title up, legitimized them.
Yeah, I mean, I know Shane's promo is one of the, you know, the pivotal moments you point to in pro wrestling, with dropping the belt and changing the Eastern Championship Wrestling to Extreme Championship Wrestling as like the official era of ECW. But I think without Funk, I don't know if ECW gets to where it gets to and becomes the beloved little engine that could without Funk. Because you take away all those moments with the Thanos snap and it's like, okay, do they still
get there? Why am I tuning in?
Yeah.
Do they still get there? I don't know if they do or not.
Yeah, I think they might have still got there, but it might have taken them a little bit more time to get more eyes on the product. Maybe we all know how many financial problems ECW had. Maybe they wouldn't have made it.
Yeah.
If the eyes wouldn't have tuned in whenever they did, and you didn't have that rush in 97 to, you know, almost making the mainstream.
Yeah, it's an interesting question.
I wish I would have seen, like, I came in to ECW after he had already left. So I only saw the video stuff of him. You know, I didn't actually watch any matches of him. So I wish I would have watched ECW whenever he was around in there. I've only gone back to watch it.
Yeah, going back on the network and watching it, it's still great, but it doesn't hit the way it did as it was in real time. Mm-hmm. Right.
No. I remember Terry in WCW. Like, that's where I first really remember him. Like, because I got into wrestling like around 90, and he was in WCW like I think like early 90s, and then came back around like the mid 90s. But then, like, really remembering him is Chainsaw Charlie. You know, like, whenever he debuted in Chainsaw Charlie in WWF, it's just like, that's whenever it's just like, oh, I haven't seen Terry Funk in a while. And that was just a whole other thing.
I mean, the pantyhose over the face. Yeah, that's how people used to rob banks. We know who you are. We see you. Like,
what do they always talk about?
Smashing your nose up.
They always talk about, like, dialing up to 11, and that's exactly what he did as Chainsaw Charlie. He just went out there and became the crazy old man.
Mm-hmm.
Swung that chainsaw around better than Tony Khan dressed up as Leatherface did.
And then every time he got knocked out, he always had that funk leg that always shook.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Like, there it goes.
Then Devon, you know, gave him the shout out, you know, years later afterwards. Whenever he started to do it.
Yeah, like, I can still remember in my head, like, JR's call when the New Age Outlaws pushed the dumpster off of the off of the entrance ramp. Like, good God, there's humans in there. Like, like, I can still hear JR going absolutely crazy. Punkin' Roadhouse, but yeah, that, like, and then they open up the dumpster and you just see
Mick is just laid out, Terry is just shaking to death,
just dead. Talk about selling. Yeah, like, I was, you know, I didn't see the 10 pounds of gold funk, when he was the baby face. Like, my Terry Funk was, like, always the heel version of Terry Funk. And then he became the beloved old granddad, as, you know, people would say, through ECW and that, to where you just go, he's crazier than batshit, but God, you gotta love him. But yeah, true icon in the industry for sure.
He did a lot of matches. Like I think his last match was like 2017 or 2019. I looked it up. That was his final farewell.
Yeah.
Him and Tommy Dreamer did a match whenever Tommy was running House of Hardcore. So it's like Tommy got to tag with him, which I think is pretty cool for Tommy. But I think the last match I saw of Terry was One Night Stand 2006, whenever it was. Where Mick Foley, him, Edge, Lita. So that's not that way to go out in mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Maybe we become more critical as we've gotten older, but during that time, they were never the old wrestlers. They were just wrestlers to me.
That's a good point. Like, I didn't look at them like I kind of look at, like, Jericho now. Like,
time to hang it up, but no, you were just
plus, like, yeah, like, yeah, give me more. Yeah, or even like Christopher Daniels out there at 50-51. Like, I don't need the best moonsault ever from you, bro. Like, you did it enough over the course of your career. Like, but yeah, I mean, that's a good point. And I think seeing those guys, Jay, because we're at the age we are, it's like, oh yeah, yens are old.
Like, yeah.
You know now what you I mean? Feel where, it. Yeah, where before we were teenagers, we didn't have the just the dumb kid watching TV. Like we didn't have the perception of like actual age and what it was. Like I wasn't running to the internet, and the internet wasn't even really a huge thing back then to see Terry Funk's 59 years old out there doing a moonsault. Like, you know what I mean? Like, yeah.
Because Alita, they had to make it that six person tag.
Of course, she took the pin.
So, yeah, all those names in that ring. Who gonna take the pin?
Yeah. And then Cody touched on it last night. I thought Cody being the person to come out and talk and all that for Funk. I thought it was a good call by WWE. You got the correlation. You knew why he was out there talking mm-hmm. about him. There was nobody else really there that I can think of off the top of my head in the company besides like a Triple H to do it based on, wrestling history besides Cody, and he brought up the egg sucking dog. And I still remember Funk wearing the shirt. Flair can suck eggs. Like, this is tremendous. Like, yeah, it's like.
Which Cody was just like, can we say that on TV? It's like, that was probably a big thing at the time.
Yeah, tremendous. I thought the package was good. Cody's promo and talk about it was good. I like how they led into the Terry Funk hardcore match. Like, the tribute with spinning Butch around like he's the ladder. Like I thought it was all nicely done last night from a touching tribute wise. I know there was some pockets of people on the internet were like, oh, well, all they're doing is talking about Bray and not Terry. And it's like, come on, guys. Like, really, this is what you're going to be bitching about tonight? Like, they gave the man his flowers in the opening. They didn't, and the fact it's like it's – You're celebrating this. Stay with me here for a second, because I don't want this to sound like I'm not considerate of the passing of each individual. But like Terry Funk was 71, 72?
79.
Yeah. So like you're celebrating a life. It still hurts because anytime anybody passes, it still hurts. But you get to celebrate that life, and you get to reflect on that life and look at everything he's done in the sports entertainment professional wrestling business, and you have a different reflection on that. With Bray, it's somebody who was 36, super young, and you feel cheated.
Yeah.
Because you don't get to have, like, you can still reflect and enjoy and talk about everything that he did, but it's like he was still 36. Like, there was still so much more. Like, why him, why now, sort of thing. Like, so it's at least in my eyes looking at it, it's two different scopes of viewing and celebrating and reflecting on two individuals that passed away based off of the age of each individual and the life that they were able to lead and led, not necessarily knocking either individual's time in the industry, but it's just you feel cheated. At least I do. Like, man, like,
yes,
what could have been? What could he have done? Would it, you know what I mean? Like,
and those are always two different episodes. Like, when you have a legend die, you get the opening, you get some sprinkles in between. When you get an active roster person die, that's usually the whole show.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. So,
and you hit it, Steve. It's like, what could he have been doing, in another 5 years or more, in the company? How many different variations would we have seen by that? You had that big moment earlier in the year with Undertaker almost like passing the torch to him. On Raw 30.
It's
like they, I think they were setting him up still, unfortunately, everything that happened this year with him that but they were going to plan on doing a whole lot more. And just, it's that whole, what could have been.
Yeah. And I saw, you know, like a lot of people on Twitter were posting his comeback promo, like after he, you know, re-debuted, mm-hmm. and listening back to it, that, you know, that hits differently now that he passed, you know what I mean? Like, and it was just, he had a way with the audience that not a lot of wrestlers get to have. And it was there from day one. Like, you can say what you will about him in the ring and his matches, but the creativity and the connection to the audience, there's very few that had it the way that Bray Wyatt had it. And I thought LA Knight, at first I'm like, LA Knight, like foes, him and, I get Balor, but you didn't have Roman there, you didn't have Seth there. Seth talked about, you know, why he wasn't there, and that legitimate reasons based on the conversation that he's had with Bray in private. So I'm like, okay, that's a little odd pairing. But LA Knight was really his last true feud in the company. Him and Finn have a history. And then I thought LA Knight did a tremendous job out there, you know, talking about Bray, giving him his flowers, saying, you know, I got the rub from Bray without saying I got the rub, as Cody Rhodes said earlier in the night. Made fun of Miz, got the audience to laugh, and then, like, tied it back up with the iconic, a wise man once told me, the next time you see me, run. And I was like, that's perfect. Like, I don't think he could have done it any better than what he did it last night.
I'm a little different on it.
Why?
He said it in the promo. I'm not going to come out. Like, he's sitting there talking about Bray, but then he goes, I'm not going to sit here and talk like we were best friends. It's just like, it's a tribute show. Like, I don't need a promo from you tonight. Like, he was, you know, focusing it on Bray, but like, then you sit there and say, you know, I'm not going to talk about him. It's just, I didn't need it.
But I mean, for him to say that they weren't best friends, I mean, he wasn't in the company long. Like, their only interaction was that story. So
then why have him come out and talk about him?
Because he was the last major feud that Bray had, and he's the hottest babyface in the company right now.
To me, it wasn't needed.
So that one line is the only line that you didn't like?
No, I actually just didn't even need the promo at all last night, but just, I don't know, for me, it's like, whenever you're going to sit there and say that we're going to do a tribute show in a way, and then just, I get the show must go on and everything, but just like, certain things aren't needed. And I just didn't feel like that was needed last night.
You're the only person that I've seen a negative reaction to that promo from, or that the way they did that last night.
I'm with Chris, because I was texting him yesterday about that. Mm-hmm. Whenever Eddie died, it was a straight.
Wait, Jay, are you on board with these two too?
No,
I just heard you say, and I'm like, Jay's on board too. Like,
no,
all right, go ahead, Donald.
Because whenever Eddie died, it was just straight exhibition matches. Everybody had their time to talk to the camera about, you know, about everything. This one, it just seemed like just the show kept going. Now, I was okay with, like, Ray fighting in the beginning, but as soon as Theory came out, I was like, oh, here we go. I was like, yes, the show must go on, but one of your active roster, you know, co-workers just died. I just want to see exhibition matches, tribute to him. I don't need a story. You have next week to continue the story.
You have next week to do an active tribute show too. This is a day away. You're not going to have video packages of people expressing their love right now.
They taped them last night. That they flew people in. That's why you saw Rowan. You saw.
Yeah, I saw some of them posting them like already.
They were there last night at TV to film those to air them on Raw on Monday. You're like Jay said, you're not even 24 hours out. Like, that's to, you know, they scrapped what they originally had planned for the show. They bumped Jay to next Uso next, you know, or bumped Jimmy to next week.
And that and I said it on last night. That felt like the only thing that they didn't do last night. Like it seemed like SmackDown was almost the same that they had planned, other than the Uso segment. And at that point, why not just do the Uso segment?
I mean, LA, I don't think LA Knight and Finn was planned for that show. We had the Ray Waller match go off, which was announced. That stayed true to course. Zelina and Io, I don't know, but I didn't hear anything prior to SmackDown that was going to be a championship match for the women's title. And other than that, you had the hardcore match, which got put together
for Terry.
For Terry. So, like, to me, they didn't follow the script that they had laid out for SmackDown last night.
Except for Ray.
And you got the Bray pieces and tributes in and out of commercial breaks with videos and the messages from Twitter and all that. So, like, I feel like they did what they could in 24 hours notice. Like,
and you still have to appease a paying customer. You just want to sit there and have people in the stands just watching the tribute show?
I mean, I don't need all
that. I'm not watching tribute show.
I think like some like the tribute matches, like you said, like exhibition matches, I would have been okay with that. But
that's what you got. Exhibition
matches.
In a way. Exhibition matches except for Ray.
Yeah, the exhibition matches in a way, but it still was tied to story. I don't need story right now.
The only one that was tied in the story was Ray and Waller.
Yeah.
But like Chris said, but like what Chris said with LA Knight, he's cutting a promo on The Miz. Right in the middle about talking about Bray. That's story.
Like if he would have went out there and just cut a promo about Bray, I think I would have been more okay with that instead of tying it into a promo.
But so you guys are knocking the man for doing his job? For being told this is what we want you to do when you go out there?
I mean, you can't say no to the boss, but...
Yeah. But if he doesn't give you the Ray, who is this? This is LA Knight.
I guess it's not so much that I'm...
Japan, so.
I'm not necessarily just saying it like it should be LA. That's the problem. It's why do that?
Kenny.
More, man.
Why do it? Like, I don't... I was not expecting Yinsu to come in here and knock what he did last night. Like, I mean, he sprinkled in... He did what you do in a promo. He mixed in reality with sports entertainment.
But again, reality. And you keep getting the same back to it. It's a promo. I didn't need a promo. That's what I'm going back to. I don't need the promo.
Again, you have next week.
Somebody got to come out and say something.
Yeah, so then don't have Cody Rhodes. If you didn't need a promo, don't have Cody Rhodes come out and talk about Terry Funk and just play the tribute video. Because you got a promo from Cody Rhodes.
But did Cody try to hype up a match? No.
Yeah, he announced the hardcore match. He hyped it up. He named it the hardcore
match.
Not his own match.
Yeah. He wasn't on the card to wrestle. They put LA Knight in the main event. What do you want him to do?
You're trying to argue and it's two different things.
You're knocking somebody for going out there and tying real life, talking about a man. He gave him his flowers and told him, you made me who I am by giving me the rub.
I'm okay with that, what he's talking about, but don't tie it into a Miz promo that is on story. It's two completely different things, apples and oranges.
You have a paying customer to appease.
But do you think the people in the audience last night would have cared one way or the other if...
I would if I paid for wrestling tickets and got a tribute show. I'd be pissed.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. I think if I would have went there and it's like understanding the real world circumstance, it's like it is what it is. I mean, they've not going to say who, but I mean, they've even sent people home away when they've done tribute shows and just not done the show. You know, they could have went that route last night and they didn't. They did let the show continue, and I think that was the right thing to do, that the fans were there and to interact with everything, especially for Bray with the Fireflies and everything. But
well, the show continues, but I have a problem. Yeah. Is that what that was you asked? The show goes on, but I have a problem.
And
I guess it's a way of they've done the formula in the past of how they do tribute shows. And I guess like I'm so used to that, like. But they actually the give.
This is Hunter doing a tribute show for the first time.
It you felt like get that Monday. Last night.
And not only that, but LA Knight doing the promo on The Miz led to the dismount line of closing out with Bray Wyatt's iconic run. Like that whole Miz line was to set up saying that, where he gave the man his flowers again by using his one of his famous taglines, run. And you guys are out here shitting on it because he used that to get to the run. He didn't use Miz just to cut the promo on Miz.
Yeah.
You're if not he doesn't say stuff about Miz and he just yells,
you
run.
You can keep talking like, over and over about it, but it is. It's changed my mind.
Change my mind. He shouldn't have cut the promo on Miz.
It's like,
that's where I'm standing at.
Yeah.
My feet is in the ground. I die on a hill on this. That's what I am.
See, that's, and I just, show and I just said in the open of the show, you know, you guys want to, you know, we can talk, we can argue, we can debate, we can this and that. But you guys are just like shitting on everything and not hearing it. Like putting your fingers in your earlobes and going, la, 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 la.
That's a two-year-old kid. I don't do that.
No.
I'm trying to look at the
whole what you're saying, but it's just like your opinion's going to be different than mine on this. And it's just what it is.
Was that your your negative? Was that your negative Nancy Jabroni moment from the night last night?
That you
didn't bring up? No. I mean, I can go into that now if you want me to go into it now.
But... Yeah, go ahead. Go into that before we get into AEW.
Actually, mine's on the commentary team. I called this out a couple weeks ago about being tone deaf in AEW, and I'm going to call it out for last night. Corey Graves last night was sitting there talking about Bray, like whenever they went to the commentary desk. And talking about like his how he's gonna miss his laugh and everything. And Kevin Patrick like turns it into a transition of speaking of a laugh, will Zelina Vega get the last laugh tonight? It's just like you gotta be fucking kidding me. Like, we're gonna turn a story about a person that just died into a transition. And then a little bit later, they're coming back in for Corey's talking about like college football, and he's like stumbling over the words a little bit, and that's okay, like it happens like that. And Cole goes to him, are you getting all choked up over this game? It's like, for fuck's sake. Like, can you have a little bit of fucking empathy on a tribute show?
Well, wait. Asking if he's getting choked up about the game, that means he doesn't have empathy for the situation?
And he's like, but he's laughing about it.
But can you help him through it?
Yeah, like, he didn't.
Change the tone so you can help him through it. Don't. Yeah.
Like.
Crack a joke.
Yeah, it's just the commentary team last night.
No, you can't crack a joke, Jay, because if you crack a joke, according to Chris, you're being insensitive and you can't do that.
Doesn't go to a tribute show.
Yeah, it doesn't vibe with a tribute show because you're cracking a joke.
It's just the way he said it.
I get the Patrick line, but the getting choked up over a football game. I can get throwing that not jab, but just to avert the emotion.
Just like if this is Kevin Patrick wasn't much on Raw. You know, whenever it was just him and Corey, but if this is going to be him with Michael Cole in his ear right next to him all the time every week, like, I don't know if it's going to get better.
Well, I don't think he was flying off the seat of his pants and ad-libbed that transition.
Who wrote the transition then for him? It's either his boss next to him or his boss in the back.
So knock one of them. What are you shitting on Kevin Patrick for doing his job? LA Knight.
I'll knock all of them.
I've laughed at funerals, Taquan. I have.
Wow. Okay. Any other Donald? Your negative jabroni from last night.
It wasn't last night. No. My jabroni from NXT.
All right. What you got?
NXT falling back into the. We're gonna have a fatal four way, fatal five way for the women's contender. I mean, that whole segment was very bad, and they just never get it. Like. Pick a lady, push her to the title. I don't need five women again competing in a battle royal, fatal four way for number one contendership. I swear this is like the fifth time going on a year that they're doing this.
And the weird part is they all have storyline except for maybe JC and Tiffany and Gigi.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if they have storyline, but they've all, everybody else has a storyline with her. You could have just picked.
Yes. Just pick one.
Yeah, I didn't. That if this was a normal week, that would have been probably my 1A. As far as Jabroni, that whole segment was just bad. I would have put NXT up there as a whole just because you have these branded specials named Heatwave, and that was not a branded special. Yeah, that was a regular NXT Tuesday night show. They started out good with Dragunov and Trick, and then after that, everything else was flat until the ending. Nothing else about that made it seem like they
bookended.
Nothing else made it seem like it was a branded special. Just like AEW with Fyter Fest. Why are you branding it Fyter Fest? There's nothing to do with Fyter Fest. It's like you're talking about All In. So why are you branding it Fyter Fest? Because it didn't feel like a branded separate show to stand out. It was just regular Dynamite, regular Rampage for All In. Like,
I'm actually surprised to hear this because I was saying to Dahl and Jason before we came on, I wanted to go back to watch NXT because all I kept hearing was good things online about it, and I just never got around to it. So,
the two matches were pay per view quality.
Dragunov and Trick, Mello and Wes, Chef's Kiss.
Yes,
put them on a takeover back in the day. Everything else, regular Tuesday nights.
Yeah, it was normal Tuesday then.
Yeah, so.
Good to know. Might make me actually want to go back and watch those though.
I gave it a pass just because of those two matches. Okay.
And that was my Mount Rushmore was Ilya and Trick. Trick impressed the hell out of me. It was so good. And
you know what I liked about that match the most? Because Trick is still green and people could have been complaining about quote unquote botches. But it looked and felt like they were just having a straight fight.
Yes.
And it was just physical, and they were beating the hell out of each other. Like, whenever he went to do the powerbomb spot and Trick slipped out and he fell back down and he had to go back and do it again, I'm like, oh, they're going to get killed on the internet for this. But I'm like, no, it absolutely makes sense based on the fight that they've had.
Yes.
Like, they have beat the hell out of each other.
He's tired.
Yeah, like,
he's tired.
So, yeah, I think that – being in there with Dragunov and based on the physicality that he brings, that helped overshadow some of the spots where Trick is still green and is not there yet, but it worked for the fight that they presented in the match that they worked story-wise. I'd had no problems with anything that they did in that match.
Not one thing.
Anybody have a Mount Rushmore outside of AEW that we need to touch on before we get into this card?
Gunther and Chad Gable.
Everything but the finish.
I love the match. The finish. Yes.
I hate the finish.
You hate the finish?
Hate the finish. You want to know why I hate the finish? It's not so much that he won via countout. It's the way he celebrated the win after he won via countout and the way they hyped it up on commentary. It made it seem like he won the title. Yo, you won by countout, Chad. You didn't pin them.
They did a Luger.
Like, they did exactly a Luger. What I was thinking too. Yeah, I'm like, everything up to that was fine.
I get it, but you beat an undefeated guy. You beat an undefeated guy, and you're still in the running for that belt.
That's fine.
That's all. That's why.
Don't celebrate like you won the Natty because anybody's
going to
get
it. Yeah, celebrate it. But you're still in the picture. It's not a loss. You're still in the picture.
Out there like a UCF. We're national champions. You're still a champ. Did a play for a national champ. Every national champ.
He's out there celebrating like he hit for the cycle, but meanwhile, he got a single on a bunt. Like, come on, bro.
I enjoyed every part of it. That means it's still going. That's giving you the doubt that it could happen.
A count out is giving me doubt that he can hit him.
After he passes honky talk, he's giving that doubt that maybe Chad Gable can come to IC.
Pull out the American flags. Where's the rest of them on your shoulders? Where's the confetti?
Gable Express. We're gonna put Chad on a short bus. It is.
Where's the Gilbert sparklers at? Bring those out.
No, I glow on the grill and I only make it to first base. I'm still celebrating. So,
Clip of the week, number one, right here. Jay gets a phone number and he's doing cartwheels like he's on his head.
I'm in there.
That's what you need to put in the door, right?
I'm still in the rack.
Next time you see that napkin get ripped right up.
No napkins nowadays, you old ass man. Leave his IG page. What are you talking about? Napkins.
Wow. Sure, Jason doesn't go to the bar anymore. So.
Jeez. She just blocks him so he can't enter her DMs no more.
Hey, a win's a win, Ty. A win's
a win. Ty Quan and Jason agreeing on something? You know, we're celebrating. Win, my boy. Well, I'll save my Mount Rushmore for when we get into AEW because it's from AEW. So let's get into All In. Let's break down this card, run through it here. Hits, misses. I'll throw out my other. If it was a regular week, my Jabroni 1B. Whenever I heard this announcement, which I'm sure will make Donald very happy. So yeah, let's get into it. Let's run through the card.
All right, we got 11 matches scheduled. Two of them are on the pre-show right now. One is not officially announced. I did hear that there could be some more matches announced today, so we'll see. So if this isn't the official card, you know, it is what it is right now. But we're going to go into Donald's match of the week, I think. So 0 Hour, FTW Championship, Jack Perry versus Hook.
This will probably get announced tonight because they bumped the retire the FTW belt to Collision tonight from Dynamite on Wednesday based on the other changes they had to make due to the visa issues and yada yada yada.
Anybody?
Yeah.
Bueller.
Look,
this is one back.
The Jack Perry heel gimmick, I can kind of get on board with what he's doing right now. The thing that completely disconnects me from it is the freaking Beethoven intro. I just can't, like, I can't do it. And I understand, and he gave the reasoning as to why he picked that song, because it's the complete opposite of the hands waving, you know. But I just, yeah, it just doesn't let me buy in all the way. Like, I thought it would be one of those heel things that would grow on me and be like, okay, I get it. But I haven't been into it, you know. So yeah, I want Hook to win because it's Hook, but Perry will win, and hopefully they do retire the FTW belt, and this story can end and move on somewhere else.
Yeah, Perry for the win, retire the belt, please, and please move him on to something else, something bigger. If he's one of your quote unquote four pillars, please. Moving to something else.
Whatever keeps Hook off screen.
Oh, wow.
Win the belt, lose the belt, whatever. Go.
Okay.
Back to Rampage for Hook, huh?
Somewhere. Yeah. You can go to, I don't even know what their little show is anymore. Do they even have one? Ooh. The I want to call it Zero. That's not 0 Hour. Dark.
No, they don't do
that. Put all that.
Yeah, that's Rampage now. Same with you guys. Perry win and retire the belt. Time to move on. All right. Other match for 0 Hour right now. It's a match that's been getting hyped up. Aussie Open versus MJF and Adam Cole.
I said it a couple weeks on this show. Adam Cole's the bad guy in the storyline, and he's been the bad guy the entire time. Part of his plan to run MJF ragged, weaken them out before they get into their main event. I think Roddy planted seeds where at the end of the night, you'll see the true Adam Cole and the true MJF. It's perfect time to do a heel babyface flop. And listen, if he pulls out the freaking kangaroo kick in this match, that arena is going to go berserk. I can't believe it's getting to the point where an actual move named the kangaroo kick is getting the pop that it's getting. But then it's AEW, so I completely understand why it's getting the pop that it's getting.
I think it's MJF. If it was somebody else, I don't think it would get the pop that it's getting.
Sure. So, I think this will be a really good match if they actually give it time. I expect Cole to let MJF work 90% of this match.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Mark.
Yeah.
That's smart.
Yeah. So I got Aussie open retaining. And we see the start, like, yo, you're on camera, bro. You're not hiding.
You didn't hear the crinkle?
Yeah, I heard the crinkle, but yo, to try to sneak and duck off camera to take a bite of that fudge round or whatever else you're trying to shove it in your mouth right now.
Always.
What do you got?
I'm babysitting. The dude said, can you open my fruit snacks? That's why I actually went on mute this time, because it's not about myself. I'm thinking now.
You heard crinkle.
That was because he handed it to me.
Wait, so you bent down to open the fruit snacks with your mouth?
Yeah, I could. It didn't have to tear in it.
Oh, so we had a Sean Ross Sapp incident right here with the debate and what it was. Was it fruit snacks? Did you actually take a bite or just open it with your teeth? Did he have snot or was he doing a rail? Like, what we're doing?
I'm surprised there wasn't an uncle tax and you didn't take some out.
No, any other time, yeah. I'm on camera. I can't be...
That never stops you from being on camera before. Like, you put so many down. This guy's unbelievable. I got Aussie open.
Trying to be discreet and now being put on blast, trying to be discreet, being the perfect uncle.
Aussie open.
Horrible segment. But great. All right, that moves us on to the main card. We'll kick things off here with the coffee match. Darby Allin and Sting versus Swerve Strickland and Christian Cage.
This was one of the other options for Jabroni of the Week. You had a four-week storyline. Not even four weeks. Maybe 4 weeks. AR Fox joins the Mogul Embassy. Mm-hmm. They drive to Nick Wayne's house, leave him a bloody mess. AR Fox is wearing this shirt for a month straight with blood on it. They lose again to Darby and Nick Wayne. Swerve fires AR Fox, brings in Christian Cage, who lays him out. Darby Allin goes, well, who do you got? Who do you got, Swerve? Who do you got? And Christian Cage walks out because. So Brian Cage laying out AR Fox meant nothing to get in the match. So because we have Sting, we need another legend. We'll throw Christian Cage in there.
Did you watch Collision last week though?
Yeah, I get the storyline with Darby and Christian and the TNT title. Like, I get all that, but still, like, I'm not gonna celebrate Christian's promo he cut on Nick Wayne because of the week that was, with actual, you know, people passing, but God damn, he's entertaining whenever he does it.
I could put him as my jabroni, formulaic.
Oh my god.
Just give him another person with daddy issues and run it down. Formulaic. Christian's a bum to me. It's always been.
I mean, for me this past week, my Mount Rushmore was the match Darby versus Christian from last week on Collision. Thought it was a great match, told a great story. Whenever they both came out, I was like, what else is going to go on Collision? Because they're not going to give them this much time. And they gave them almost the final half hour. So I thought it was a great story. It built up. It had some great moments. Steve, I'm sure there was probably some moments that you turned your head on in there. But I enjoyed it. So everything that you said for Wednesday, 100% agree with you because it was just awful. But it makes me a little more into the match after coming off of that match of Collision last week. Like, okay, everything that's going on between Darby and Christian for the title makes a little more sense with him being in this, even though AR Fox definitely had the story too.
And apparently AR Fox got some heat and pulled out and let the company know that he was not going to be able to go to All In late, which is why they did this transition. So people in the, you know, higher ups aren't very happy with him right now, according to rumor and innuendo.
When this was actually one of the first matches announced for All In.
Yeah, don't know if this is true or not. So, but what can we not make the 18-year-old Nick Wayne seem like the second coming of Superman and Jesus Christ? Because by now, I don't know what you can hit him with from a move wise to get him to lose on a three count.
He's kicked out of everything.
Everything. You might as well just let everybody, you might as well line up every single member on the roster and just have them hit his finisher through a gauntlet match and then have him kick out at the end.
Wait till he gets open. Wait till he gets over for opening up a bag of chips, too.
Well, don't knock Hook for opening up the chips. Okay?
He ain't going to kick out of no Judas Effect or a One Winged Angel. I bet you that for damn sure.
Yeah, like, I mean, the dude is super talented for being 18, but yo, come on. Like, and that's my knock on some of the Darby matches, too. Like, I get that you're the Brazilian underdog that overcomes, but at some point, yo, you can't keep kicking out of all these moves and expect me to believe it. Like,
Scrawny Bonnie Cetus.
He's like Undertaker when he first came into the WWE. He just kept coming after you.
Yeah, but Undertaker was 6'8".
Yeah, I know. Like,
he's not 5'8", 150. Like, you got a whole nother person in the Undertaker on top of Darby. Like, yeah, so, I mean, you know Sting's not losing.
Of course not. It's not in his contract. He got creative control, like somebody we know.
Sting will jump off of shit through a table or something.
You get the good old nerd. Yeah. You get the he still got it.
Yeah. I'm going to be like Steve in this match. Just like worried for what.
Worried. Yeah. Worried. This whole match.
Yeah.
Between Sting and then Christian with his neck. Like, I'm just let Darby and Swerve do everything.
Yeah.
And then Sting can walk over and put the coffin down.
That was. Darby jumped on Christian last week, like on the chair, and like kind of like did the stomp on him, and Christian fell straight back. It's just like, watch his neck.
Yeah. Well, don't matter.
Yeah, Darby and Sting. I don't think there's any other way to go with this one.
Darby
Sting. Yeah. All right.
Darby.
Moving on. Get the Trios Championship, House of Black versus the Acclaimed, with Daddy Ass returning.
Daddy Ass returning. I think it will be Billy Gunn's swan song and be his last match, unless they actually put the belts on them and he gets a run and then retires afterwards. Hey, for being an undercard, mid-card storyline, I'm not mad at what they've told here. It's worked. So this is where you get part of the show where you're, you know, mid-carder, so to speak. Fill in with a nice story that people can buy into and believe. So I'm cool with what they did here. This works. I still don't want House of Black to lose. What did you say, Jay?
Maybe a 1 week retirement. A 1 week retirement.
2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Okay. Well, they beat up.
We already talked about Terry Funk earlier. So
yeah, he's just following the Terry Funk. He's just following.
Nah. Terry Funk wouldn't retire in week to week though.
Yeah, he was.
Oh, he was a couple times. Retirement. 2 weeks later, had a match.
He did an entire retirement tour where he retired in every city.
Yeah, that's different. Respectable.
Because it's Terry Funk.
I put that up there with A-Rod or no Jeter. Retirement tour.
I got House of Black, even though the Acclaim makes sense storyline wise. But I got House of Black and Billy Gunn actually calling it quits from in-ring.
House of Black.
Give me House of Black.
I'm going back and forth on this one. Because I could see it being either way. The House of Black and then Billy Gunn retiring there. Like, I think that makes sense. But then I could also see Tony getting that pop for the Acclaimed winning in Wembley. You know, like they did with the tag titles. It's like, that's why I keep going back and forth on. Because you all picked the House of Black, I'm going to go with the Acclaimed, just to be different. So,
Chris scissoring it up.
You say when he said Fun Lovable Billy couldn't make it, I thought he was calling on Xbox.
Oh,
that'd been great. I'd have never watched the show again. It'd been perfect.
Hey, I agree with you on that one. All right. Next up, we're going to go with the clusterfuck of the stadium stampede.
This is unfortunate because of Phoenix's visa issues. He's trying to establish residency in the U.S. So there was a lot of stuff going on there. Hey, look, I saw a lot of Pride and Powerful are back. No. Santana is back and Ortiz is back. Pride and Powerful is not back. They still don't like each other. There's still heat there. I don't see them coming back and tag teaming. Ortiz got the, I'm going to pop out through the crowd, and Santana got the music and come back from injury pop. Yeah, no.
To be determined.
Look, I don't think I'll have any interest in this match at all. John Moxley doesn't lose, but neither does Orange Cassidy. So I have no idea who to pick here. But
you're just taking the pins. That's all I know. him
or Chuck.
Yeah,
one of the two. Him or Chuck.
I think Chuck will take it.
I'm taking BCC.
Same. Mm,
yeah. Give me BCC.
Donald talked about somebody having creative control earlier. Exactly what's going to happen this match. All right, up next we're going to go into Will Ospreay and Jericho. So and this don't was forget my, Fozzie's going to perform before this match.
That was my jabroni of the week. Chris Jericho performing his entrance music as he walks down to the ramp for this match. That's
you pulling a Roy Jones.
Yo, I was man.
Is he gonna announce himself as he goes down too?
Yeah,
just do it all.
He just doing everything.
Do it everything. My Mount Rushmore for the week was Ospreay's promo.
Okay.
I loved everything about it.
Still does nothing to me.
It's hard to argue against him being the best wrestler in the world whenever he rattles off. I'm gonna, you know. Beat Okada, Omega, and Jericho in 2 months. Say what you will about Jericho nowadays, but still, the name is Jericho. So, just the passion, dropping that my contract's up in 6 months. I'm out here. I'm in these streets. Pay me. Give me the bag. And he's not like an NFL running back. He'll get paid.
He deserves it, too.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. I mean, he's been on a run the last 2 years. Ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Look at his matches. Him and Orange Cassidy were up for match of the year.
Yeah.
Yes.
Like
that was my match that I didn't even look forward to on that card.
Yes.
And that ended up being match of the night for me.
Which is the same thing as I'm doing in this match. I'm not saying it's going to be match of the night, but like I when this was announced, I'm like, why? This is 2 years too late. They gave the reason why it didn't happen because of lockdown COVID. We get it. Ospreay is a huge Jericho mark, so this is it is a career match for him. But I was like, I don't need it. Are they going to do something that'll catch my interest and be better than what I thought it was going to be? Probably. I think Ospreay should absolutely go over.
Oh yeah.
Will it be better than WrestleMania?
I know Jason was stomping his feet when Jericho said that.
Yeah.
He was about to throw himself out of my car when he was.
You know how Jericho had the list of 1,001 holds? Jason had a list of Jericho's 1,001 matches in WWE that are better than this. I got Ospreay.
Ospreay? Best wrestler in the world.
Gotta go with Ospreay. You going with Jericho, Jason?
What's that, Ospreay? Pick Jericho? He's on Moxley list.
If it was Y2J,
he's still on the list.
You see him?
Look, I haven't liked Jericho since he was in the suit. That was the last time I liked Jericho. Short hair, suit Jericho.
The Michaels 09 feud Jericho.
Yeah. That's
the last. You didn't like the put him on the list, Jericho.
Nope, the list was terrible. Y2J was terrible to me. No, not a Jericho fan.
But you took a picture of him down at WrestleMania.
I didn't.
On a Polaroid.
No, we've seen him. I didn't.
I took a picture of him. Oh, you got that picture of him.
Okay. Come find it. I'll find it. I pointed him out like, oh, there's Jericho. Walking with his family.
Okay, I must be looking at the wrong Facebook then when it happened, but okay. Picture?
Well, if you put it up on Facebook, it's still there. It'll pop up in the time hop sooner rather than later, around March or April of next year. 14 years ago, hey, you took this picture, and it's just Jericho with his light-up jacket on.
Well, if so, it's not every day you see a wrestler walking in the street.
Oh, here we go. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
What's the criteria?
What's the criteria? Right.
It doesn't matter as long as it's a wrestler. He sees Cheeseburger walking down the street. Snap.
Like, this is like my grandmother getting Virgil's autograph at the bank because he was a wrestler. That's what she said. Got you this autograph. I was like 6 years old. I got you this autograph from a wrestler. I'm like, what wrestler did you meet at Mellon Bank? Grandma? Like, yeah. It was Virgil. Signed it on the back of a deposit slip. Last time he cashed a check, too. Oh.
The real question is, was it just his autograph or did he sign it for anybody else, too?
I didn't get him and then a separate one with Ted DiBiase. Just Virgil. Right. Osprey around the board.
Yeah. Up next, Donald's next favorite match, the Real World Championship, Punk versus Joe. Oh
my God. Samoa Joe better choke his ass out. And I know he's going to lose because it's Punk and AEW, so he can pull the card.
Creating control.
I need Samoa Joe to just go in there and just whoop his ass for about 6.5 minutes and then choke him out. In a dream world, that's what I want. And I'll be pissed when CM Punk beats him.
I want Joe to win, but I know CM Hogan.
You know Punk's winning because it's for the AEW division world heavyweight title.
For the AEW title.
So hold on. So it's not a recognized belt, but we're fighting for it.
Yep.
Right.
It's just like the FTW
title. Just like the FTW.
Not recognized.
Punk recognized it. He marked it with an X to recognize it. So that's a legitimate belt.
It's legit belted. See that belt behind you? See, I'm putting
the hygiene all in. So
yeah.
Catch me tomorrow night.
Yeah, your belt right there is real too. Tell Roman, y'all know that lineage is right here.
Yeah, Punk's gonna win, but I'm gonna be mad watching the match the whole time.
I'm not gonna pick
CM Hogan
just because I don't want to say that man's name.
I agree with you. I want Samoa Joe to win. I think this would be a good win for him, but Punk's gonna win just because. All right, we'll move on. We got the Golden Elite versus Bullet Club Gold and. You guys got
Did you forget what? Somebody?
Oh, Lucas.
I'm like, are you worried? You like Corey Graves? You worried about saying the name? Like,
I was kind of putting him in the Bullet Club Gold, but
yeah, he was out there.
He's not there, but
yeah, he's not.
Hey, listen, I'm enjoying the Bullet Club Gold. I get it for what it is. Like, they're entertaining to me. Juice Robinson is hilarious.
Juice is hilarious.
Yeah.
Juice is not hilarious.
The way
terrible. Oh, you just hate Juice because he's
oh no. Juice is X Pac and DX. Juice is trash. Let's not hype Juice.
I'm not gonna argue with you on that.
Let's not hype Juice. He's trash. Mike and in ring.
No, he's not.
So mad.
You're
mad because he
got
your
boo. I like him on the mic, but in the ring, yes, he's trash.
Yeah, you're mad because he got your boo.
You like him on the mic?
I have during this, I've actually I haven't hated him.
I'd give Gavin.
I'm not a fan of his at all. Him just walking around with a Jay White cutout, it's been entertaining. With Jay White standing in front of him.
Like, we get Dom. We get Dom. We know he can't wrestle or he's not good on the mic, but we're along for the ride. Juice, no. You guys actually believe this shit. No.
So mad.
I'm not putting Juice anywhere. Dom comes out and says Dom's in the top three wrestlers in the world right now.
Yes, he is.
Juice ain't it.
That's part of the gimmick.
My top three wrestlers in the world right now.
Yeah, he is. Osprey, Rhea, Dom.
Juice may be in the top five most entertaining wrestlers.
I wouldn't even get that, but
Jay's so mad because his nickname's Rock Hard and he's engaged to Tony Storm. That's why Jay's so mad. Jason wants to be Rock Hard and engaged to Tony Storm, and he can't have either one of those things.
Oh, that's a hey. Here's your promo.
Here's your promo right there.
I'm going to him personally for no reason.
Yeah, that's going to negate the fact that he's trash. Let's not overhype things.
They're not going to lose. There'll be some shenanigans, and Austin Gunn will take the pin in this match.
Not even in the match.
Well, you know who's taking the pin in this match.
I want to cash a Bullet Club goal to win.
I do too. But
I do. I want to win. It's time for Tekashita to do something. I mean, every week he comes out and he whoops Kenny Omega's ass. When are they going to have their one-on-one?
I'll let the jacket get tighter and tighter, man. More straight line like that.
It's like, man, he turns into the Bloodsport gimmick and what you doing? Villain coat. Got the Shang Tsung coat on for Mortal Kombat 1.
He took a vacuum sealer to that jacket. That thing was tight.
It was tight.
You might as well just wrestle in it. Yeah, old TX on.
Ibushi ain't coming in and getting a loss, so Rock Hard's getting the pin in this one.
Taking the pin.
Yeah. Thank you.
Next.
All right, we'll go with the AEW Women's Championship. Sheeta.
You go from Rock Hard to women's match. Good job. Jeez, oh man.
Saraya and Britt Baker.
Can anybody explain what Toni Storm's gimmick is?
Not a clue.
I'm not mad. I'm not mad that she's showing like a character change. I'm just trying to figure it out and how it came to be. Because it was like she was part of the Outcast spray painting people, and then next thing you know, she's a 1950s distraught actress.
It feels like what you said. Remember when you were talking about if Becky lost the title?
Chris, drop me out real quick. Yeah. Keep going.
That's what it feels like to me when Steve was talking about if Becky lost the title and how she would just like go crazy
about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think somebody did that, and I'm trying to think of who it was that kind of went a little crazy. I don't know. Maybe like Mickey James-esque in a way, but like not like the stalker, you know, with it. But yeah, I'm enjoying it to an extent, but
I don't hate it, but I was just starting to like this version of the champ Toni Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then you just went away with it. So
I want Toni to win. I think she should have never lost the title.
She shouldn't have. I want Sheeta to win just so it's not another quick.
Like a paper champion?
Yeah.
I'm thinking they're going to go with Saraya here just because.
That's what I don't want.
yeah, I don't want
that. But at this, Jason, to what you were saying, I don't want to see anybody beat Sheeta just because I don't want Sheeta to take the loss. You know, I think she deserves a run with it. She had a great run, you know, during the pandemic with it. You know, just like Steve will always say, Bayley and Sheeta carried the women's divisions for the two companies.
Yeah.
and she deserved that crowd win, and she deserves a run with the crowd for a bit. I just feel like we're here for a reason.
And it's like they're doing nothing with it. This feels like her run feels like Oscar's run.
Yeah.
It feels like everything else is more important than the run.
And it seems like they're pulling off the good old NXT thing. We don't know which girl's going to be number one, so we're just throwing a bunch of people in and see what happens.
I mean, I get it if you wanted to transition the belt through the Outcast and not have them, you know, you'd have to have take it off of Tony, have Saraya take it off of Tony. You had to work a way around to get it on Saraya. But
I think this could be not this early.
Yeah.
I think this could kind of make it more interesting with Tony, because if Saraya becomes a champion, it's like she knows she's not going to get a chance and she has to be happy for her since the belt's back in the group. But I think it's going to make her a little more crazier because she can't go after her. Like, it's the belt that she wants, but she can't go after her. And that could be a good gimmick.
Yeah.
But then when does Ruby get the belt?
She's forever.
She's the Will or Yuta of the group.
Yeah.
Sad to say, but yeah, it's true. But I'm going to tell you. I won't tell anyone to win the belt back.
I feel like it's going Saraya, but I'm going Sheeta.
I'm going to go Saraya. Just like I said, we're here for a reason, and I think that's a lot of it.
My other jabroni, only one woman's match on the card. Or is there another one?
No, right now that's it.
Well, this is it.
Yeah.
I mean, what's Athena doing?
Ring of Honor.
What's Chris, what's Statlander doing?
Yeah.
Rampage.
I mean, I did say earlier there are rumors that they're going to add to the card, but I don't think they're going to add to the main card.
It'd be zero.
Yeah. So I could see Statlander or somebody getting added to Zero Hour.
I mean, Sky Blue can only take so many losses in an event.
Would you call her Sky Morton?
Sky Morton.
I don't remember him saying that, but that's a good one.
Yeah. I think I said that to him in the car.
Oh, okay.
And Sky Morton, you know, there are a couple. So, hey, one's hurt, the other one got to do the job.
I think the plan was always to have this be a Fatal 4-Way, just to be a mirror from the original All In with the women, but I do agree that I think that there's more stuff for the women's division in the company. This would be a perfect spot for Athena.
Yeah.
You know, you could do her and Willow again.
I wouldn't, you know. I mean, we're getting Bucks and FTR again.
Yep.
You can run that one back.
Yeah. We'll see if anything does get added, but yeah, right now. All right, we're going to move on. AEW World Tag Team Championship, FTR versus the Young Bucks.
Honestly, this is a match that really does interest me. I mean, I've seen it enough times. I'm not a Young Bucks person, and I'm not an FTR person, so it was just like another match.
These matches are starting to feel like Orton and Cena to me. Like you're doing it so. I don't know what is this, the third time, but still, it feels like we just seen it.
When did they last wrestle? When was the second? Because even though you're saying it feels like you just saw it, it's been a while. For me, like, I don't remember when they actually last wrestled.
Might have been a couple years ago.
Was that the during FTR one? I was going to say, was it during the pandemic, or?
I don't know. Was that the one when FTR won it?
Was that when they won the belt? Because the first one wasn't for a title, right?
Yeah, no.
Like, it was like when they came in, it just was a tag match.
Yeah.
I think. Yeah, it must have been.
It didn't. Run. And then the Bucks beat FTR, because remember, they never got the rematch back until now.
Oh, so then it was for the belt, then.
Okay. The second one, yeah, the second one was for the belts. I remember that. Okay. Yeah.
I want FTR to retain. I mean, I don't need the Bucks to have another run here.
It could go either way for me, but
I could see it going either way, but I want FTR to win. So it was what? It went Bucks one and then FTR. So we're what should have been?
I thought it was FTR and then Bucks. Then Bucks.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
because I remember Steve was saying that FTR never got their rematch back for the titles, and then that's when they went on their title reign for like everything.
Okay.
When they got all like the IWGP title, Ring of Honor title, all that.
I get what you're saying though.
Play. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I could. Yeah, more for that 1-1 and then FTR, Young Bucks back to FTR. I'll go with them for the win.
Give me Bucks.
Give you the Bucks like you want to see them win. I know you're not a big FTR fan, but I know you're not a big Young Bucks fan either. So
I don't know. I'm just thinking about where this plays out afterwards. Like if you're doing this, if are they doing the CMFT, whatever.
Yeah.
CMFTR. They don't need belts for that.
I was going to say though, with Punk being the real world's champion, though, it doesn't make more sense to have them have the belts. And do the CMFTR. I like the CMFTR on Collision. I've enjoyed the matches they've done with that so far, but when you have a Trios championship already, I don't need a Trios group that's not going to be in the Trios.
They're not in the picture.
Division.
I figured they were going to do a picture, so that's why I was like, they need the belts.
Okay. We'll go with that then. Yeah. Mm-hmm. If they're going to go for it, then that would make more sense.
That's what I was thinking. Yeah.
Okay. I can see that. Welcome back.
My bad.
No, you're good. We did the women, so if you want to give your prediction for the women's match, and then we're on the tag title.
Sheeta, I hope they just put it on her and then actually book her to do something. You know. The women's division is what it is in AEW right now. I saw the comment. I don't know if Vince pulled this up, but
no, not yet.
I was gonna save that for after we're done with predictions. Yeah.
That's a whole episode in and of itself. we can touch on that afterwards. But yeah, I'll go Sheeta just cause. It'd be stupid to put it on anybody else after you just gave her the belt back. And then look. I tweeted out, I put FTR and the Briscoes is better or greater than FTR and the Young Bucks. I get everybody wants to make this matchup. And, you know, it's arguably two of the best of a generation, two of the best all time when everything's all said and done. I've never been a Young Bucks guy. Like, never. They just haven't ever gotten me to the point where I look at them and put them in the pantheon of greatest tag teams. Now, that you can call me a hater. I respect the grind and the hustle and what they've done outside of the machine to get to where they are. I don't, necessarily dislike what they do in the ring. It's more them as characters. Especially Matt. I like Nick more than Matt. But to me, FTR is up there, and their resume to me is greater as far as matches of tag team all time matches. FTR has more than the Young Bucks.
Anytime you ever look at like the great pivotal moments of tag team wrestling, like whenever there's like different generations that you can talk about, there's always that one and that 1A, the 1B that you can discuss that you can put in that list. Mm-hmm. So,
100%.
Yeah. So, like you saying FTR is better than the Young Bucks, I see the argument, just like where some people say LOD at that time was the best tag team, and then others talk about other territorial wrestlers' tag teams. And it's like, and I get it, it's all about taste sometimes, but especially whenever you're talking about certain tag teams that actually are legit like that, I can always see the argument.
Yeah, I got I would say FTR. We have no idea what's going on with Cassius' situation outside of pro wrestling. So I think as a switcheroo, probably put it on the Young Bucks, just because, which I don't really like. I don't know if it, you know, if Cash doesn't get arrested in this, you know, situation, this legal situation, would they have given FTR the moniker of being the best tag team? I doubt it. I mean, they're AVPs, for Christ's sake. They'll pull the card. But hey, we'll see. I just hope it turns into a classic. Mm. I like their first two matchups, but to me, none of them, those first two weren't classics. Where, like, you can put all three Briscoes and FTR as classics. Mm. You know? And, you know, Matt and Nick coming out as the heels during the interview on Wednesday night, like, I want FTR to win because I'm an FTR guy. So we'll see. I don't have any faith in them actually winning based on the outside situation with Cash's legal woes, so to speak.
Do you think I hate when they do that 50. Good. No good, Jason.
Do you think their styles are too different to be a classic?
I don't know. It's just it's one of those. To me, it's just one of those matchups where you, like, fantasy booking-wise, you're like, oh, my God, this would be amazing. Mm. And then they get in there, and it's good, but it's not what you wanted it to be. Mm. Where, like I said, FTR and the Briscoes, like, hell yeah, I wanted to see that. Did I think that – like, when they first touched, like, you could just see – the chemistry and the connection, and it's like, oh, this is going to be great. Like, you go back to their time in NXT, like, they had, you know, them in Alpha Academy or them in DIY. Like, it was just like, yo, there's something here that you can't explain it. You can't put a finger on it. Mm-hmm. You can't bottle it up and sell it. If you could, you'd be a bazillionaire. It's just there. And when those four men get in the ring, the Young Bucks and FTR, I just don't feel that whenever they get in there. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason.
I think it has potential only because of watching so many Young Bucks matches in New Japan and Ring of Honor. So many different styles that they wrestled against and had so many great matches. So they can go against anybody. Mm. You know, like, I've watched enough of them to know that they've wrestled people like an FTR that they should be able to have a good, like, a match that steals the show. But sometimes it's the people, too.
It's just missing that last secret ingredient. Mm-hmm. With those four, for me, maybe they'll prove me wrong with this match, but the first two, it was just something. All right,
main event time. AEW World Championship, MJF versus Adam Cole.
I said it all along, Adam Cole's been the bad guy. So we'll get the reveal. Cole wins, turns on MJF. He's aligned with the Kingdom and Roddy as a new stable / faction. And we get the big babyface run of MJF. Short, sweet, to the point.
Adam Cole, I'm ready for a change.
I'm gonna go MJF. I want to see a babyface MJF.
Babyface MJF versus heel Punk is probably more of a money draw if you're looking at it company wide.
Yeah.
Based on what Punk's doing. So that would be one of the reasons to have MJF retain if you're gonna put the actual title back on Punk. But story wise, if you're gonna break these two up, which I don't want to see them do. I'd rather them stay together because of how entertaining they are. Cole being the guy that turns and finalizes the babyface push
for MJF would make the most sense.
I see what you're talking about, Steve, but as I said, you have sympathy for the devil. And this past week on Dynamite with MJF pulling out the diamond ring and everything, it's just like he keeps showing it. And it's just like, as much as I think the whole Adam Cole being the heel in this makes sense, I kind of feel like they're both going to be the heel at the end of the day. Like, it's not going to go one way or the other. Like, they're both going to show their true colors, and it's just going to be what it is. And maybe that continues it going on. Maybe that's what continues the story, that they both show their true colors and they both know each other, you know, but we'll see. I think I'm going to say MJF retains the title.
All right, real quick, match of the night. Who you got?
I'm hoping FTR and the Young Bucks.
I'm gonna say Takeshi Bullet Club Gold and Elite.
I'll go FTR Bucks.
I'll go main event. MJF Sneaky has match of the nights on a lot of pay per views. Mm-hmm. So
yes, it does.
Why not do it in Wembley in the biggest main event in all the pro wrestling history, bigger than WrestleMania? Why not?
If you take away Sting and the coffin, I might have picked that match.
So Darby Allin versus Christian next week at All Out.
You give me a three-way with those guys. I'd enjoy that.
You do enjoy a good three-way pause. All right, that's it for All In. Hit us up on social media. Let us know what we got right, what we got wrong. Tune in tomorrow, 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Daytime pay-per-view means daytime drinking, which means I'll be really hungover on Monday. So cheers to that.
Just got to get that food in your system.
Yeah, we want to get into the – we got time for the game?
Let's do it.
All right. My week this week, I did a what if. So what if there was a Wrestling Hall of Fame for matches? What match or matches would you induct? So UFC has done this with a couple fights they've put in the Hall of Fame. We don't have any wrestling matches in the Hall of Fame. So if you had to pick, what would you put in your Wrestling Matches Hall of Fame?
I don't want to see them do this. I'll just stick with people. Don't. Mm-hmm. I don't need that. It's kind of like how they induct groups and you're inducted a second time in the Hall of Fame too. It's like I'd rather just see people. Like I get tag teams, but not like full groups.
I mean, I get why UFC did it with Bonner and Griffin, because that was like the catalyst to the UFC becoming the UFC. So like to immortalize those two men for what they did for the sport and the company and MMA in general, like I get why they did it there. I was thinking about this. I mean, God, there's so many matches, right? It's like, what do you do? But I think I came up with four as like a first Hall of Fame class, 4 to 5, not necessarily that these are like the greatest of great matches. But for me, like now I'm thinking about it. I probably got six. Hall of Fame class is usually like 6 to 7 people, but I'll go. I got Omega Okada.
Which one?
The first one. I'll go the first one. Omega Okada 1. Steamboat Savage.
That's my number one.
Undertaker and Mick, Hell in a Cell, where he gets thrown off the cage.
That was my number one.
I got Christopher Daniels, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles in their triple threat.
Unbreakable.
And Stone Cold Bret Hart, WrestleMania
13.
And then for me, we just talked about them. I got FTR and the Briscoes in the dog collar match at 6.
I'm definitely going Hell in the Cell, Nick and Taker. I think probably one of the most talked about matches ever.
Did he wrestle Coco Beware and we could put both of them in at the same time?
Is this who I think it is?
Yep.
I'm just not getting it. The other, your other rival.
The op is in the building.
I swear every time he's on, he has a different username.
I got to go WrestleMania 12, Iron Man match, Bret and Shawn. That's one of my favorites of all time. This is probably going to surprise you guys that I'm going to put this on there, but Halloween Havoc 97, Eddie and Ray. I can go back and watch that match anytime. That's a classic. And then probably TakeOver Brooklyn, Sasha and Bayley. You know, throw a women's match on there.
That was on my list for sure.
I'll go Savage Steamboat. And I will go, man, this is tough. I'll go, we talked about it, Terry Funk, Sabu, and Sandman. Was that them? And the first Barely Legal?
Yeah.
Yep.
That. Newer wise, I'll go TakeOver Dallas, the one that me and you went to, Chris. Sammy and Shinsuke.
Good match.
Mm-hmm. And then the match that is like number one in WWE that people say, Taker Shawn, first one.
God damn it.
First one or at WrestleMania?
WrestleMania 25.
Oh, 25, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wasn't sure if you were going back to number one.
No.
Mine is part moment, part match. So for that, I'd have to put Rock Hogan.
What's the criteria? I listed the criteria as matches, and this dude wants to throw in part moment. Part
I mean, was Hell in a Cell for the match or was it for the moment?
Both.
For the match. There was a lot of moments, but it wasn't just one moment.
You said Rock Hogan.
Yeah. I'd put Sasha Bailey. I'd put Undertaker, Shawn, and I'd put Hogan Andre.
Man, old WWE.
Of course. Got some AEW on that shit.
If I was putting like another promotion, I was thinking maybe New Japan. What was it? Best of Super Juniors was Ricochet and Will Ospreay. The match kind of broke the internet 5 years ago or whenever it was.
The match that Jericho called Ospreay on and told him he needs to slow down or else he's going to end his career prematurely.
And then here we are. All circles back.
The one that Vader was talking about too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, everybody was talking about that.
Yeah, like coming from a big man who did flips back then.
All right, hit us up on social media. Let us know what if there was a Wrestling Hall of Fame for matches. What matches would you include / induct into the Hall of Fame?
That's good.
Anything else? We're a minute 35 or an hour 35 in. We appreciate you rocking with us each and every single Saturday. We'll do the closing now. Just fuck it. Tune in each and every single week, Saturday, live at 11 a.m. with your boys. Hit us up on all social media platforms at DumbMarksPod. Head on over to, what is it, Spotify, Chris?
Spotify. Yep.
Spotify, subscribe, download, check mark, whatever. Follow us. Just drive up the audience as we do YouTube at DumbMarks Podcast. Check the bell, get notifications. Email the show at DumbMarksPod@gmail.com. Lastly, ProWrestlingTees.com/DumbMarksPod. Get a shirt. Give you a live shout out on air. Taekwon, you did get the Luigi Primo reprieve this week.
Mm-hmm.
So you're on the ball for next week. Got to come in with that. And with that being said, I felt, you know, given the week that was, we give it a little quote here. I had my quote all picked out, but I had to revert and change it up based off of what happened. And this, I think, reigns true as well if you think about it. So, little positivity quote from the week this week comes from Bray Wyatt, short and sweet. I have been the answer all along. I have been the answer all along. With that being said, have a great week. Tell your loved ones you love them. Life is short. Live it to the fullest. And until next time, I'm a Mark. You're a Mark. Tell a Mark. Y'all can catch us around the way.